Good morning, everyone. My name's Andrew Foster, and I'd like to welcome you to this morning's service from Whitley Bay Baptist Church. It's great to have you as part of the service this morning. The service is going to be slightly different from the usual weeks, in that we've not got one person speaking this morning, but I've got a number of people who are going to share some thoughts about what God's been saying to them through the lockdown period. So I hope it's going to be a real blessing to you this morning. As we start our service, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship you. Even though we're scattered in our various homes, we're one in you, and we come to bring our praise and worship to you this morning. And I pray that everything that goes on in the service today, Lord, will be as worship to you. Be with us then, Lord, I pray. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Praise him on the trumpet, psaltery and harp. Praise him on the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments too. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, hi, my name's Julie Sheesby, and I've been asked to share some of my reflections on a Bible verse that's been significant to me during lockdown. Lockdown for me has been really quite busy most of the time because I've been working as a support worker, and I've been also doing a training course online for counselling, and I've also had my family all around me. So it hasn't always been easy to kind of reflect on Bible verses, but I have reflected on Psalm 27, and the whole of the psalm is really, I'd encourage you to look at the whole of the psalm, and particularly a guy called Matt Searles. If you look him up on YouTube, I found him really helpful. But today I just want to share with you the first verse, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I've repeated that to myself, and I found it really helpful for keeping me rooted in Christ. Also, I've prayed it for other people, and I think especially during lockdown when, for different reasons, people have been facing all kinds of difficult situations. It can be a really helpful prayer. And it feels like a powerful prayer. So I've prayed it for my dad in particular. But you could put anyone's name in there. So, you know, I've prayed, Lord, be my dad's light. Be his salvation. Be the stronghold of his life. The other verse I'd really like to share with you, I actually shared when me and Anna returned from our Tearfund trip in Malawi last year. But when I've been reflecting on the horrific events in the USA, when the police murdered George Floyd, and just grappling in prayer about racism and really facing the fact it's a deep-rooted problem that remains in our world, I was reminded of Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this letter to the church in Galatia, and he reminds them, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I just think we really need to hold on to that more than ever. Jesus Christ can change our hearts. Jesus Christ can unite people. No matter who we are, no matter what our background is, no matter what our race, no matter what, in Christ, we are all one. So I just encourage us to remember that today.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Hello, I'm Mark Wadsworth, one of the youth leaders at Whitley Bay Baptist. And when I was asked to share some of the verses that have helped me through this COVID-19 pandemic, I struggled to narrow it down a little bit, so I've got a few verses. I hope you can bear with me. But early on, before I had learned how to spell COVID-19, I thought I'd check what Corinthians 1:9 said, just on a bit of a whim. I wouldn't recommend that as a strategy, especially not without checking through the context and making sure that you're not taking verses out of context there. But I found there's some really useful truths that helped to frame my understanding of what was going on. So that's what I want to share this morning. So 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we step back a little bit, it's from verse 7, it says, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus. And for me, just that first truth, God is faithful, that straight away centered me, made me settled, knowing that we have a God who we can trust. And that through this, God is revealing Jesus, and that we need to wait patiently for that. So that set the tone for me. I looked at verse 19, 1 Corinthians 1:19 as well, moved on. And that says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And it just struck me, a lot of the worldly wisdom has been shaken and turned on its head, and priorities suddenly changed, and values, people and jobs were valued that had been neglected before. And it really did seem there's just a shaking of the wisdom and a re-evaluating of what is solid, what is true, what is right, what is just. We've seen a lot of the injustice with the Black Lives Matter and other issues bubbling to the surface as this whole season has played out. I thought, for completeness, let's look at 2 Corinthians as well. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, and I'm starting just a bit before into verse 8, but we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on our own, on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. And again, there's loads that just leapt out the page. Firstly, the fear and the despair that I'm sure all of us have been touched by a little bit and wrestled with a little bit, but you could see all around this fear and despair, not sure what was going to happen. Fear of death, literally, was very real for an awful lot of people. And one of the key things we've had as people of God is we need to be relying on God and not on ourselves, and remembering his faithfulness, that he has delivered us, where he has met us in our times of need, that he will deliver us again. And I carried on into verse 11 as well, just with that, and you help us by your prayers, because it's so important that we are praying and upholding each other. So I found those verses really helpful, just to set out a framework to remember and understand and to navigate through this difficult time. Firstly, that God is faithful, that he equips us as we eagerly await for Jesus to be revealed. And I think Jesus, his truth, his righteousness, the firm foundation, are seen so much more clearly as the foolishness and the injustice of the wisdom of the world has been revealed, has been shaken. And finally, in fear, in place of fear and despair, when we rely on ourselves, we need to be relying on God, who raises the dead, and we should pray for each other.
Water you turned into wine, you opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Good morning, I'm Jo. I've been asked to share a thought about something that God's been speaking to me about over these past few months whilst we've been in lockdown. So over the last 4 months we've continued to meet as a small group over Zoom, and it's been great that, like many others of you do, we've been able to use the technology available to us to continue to meet together. However, it has made eating our tea together rather more difficult. Anyway, we've just finished a series of 5 weeks where each week we've read a chapter of James and then discussed our thoughts from the chapter, with a specific focus on what we find is a challenge to us, but what also what we find is a reassurance. And I've really felt the benefit of studying a book of the Bible in this way, and I've been challenged each week by what we've read. There are so many challenges and applications that we can take from these five chapters, but I just wanted to focus on one theme. A theme which I feel in very many ways builds on the discussions we were having prior to lockdown, when we were going through the fruitfulness on the front line material as a small group. Through reading the book of James, I am reminded and feel challenged that it's not just enough to know the right way to live or to
or to do the right things, but to say the right words and think the right thoughts. As it says in the Message translation of James chapter 2, verse 17, God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense. It's a book which really does talk about our faith in action and reminds us that our belief, trust and faith in God need hands and feet. Our hands and feet. Right at the start of James chapter 1, we read the following. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, for you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you may become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help, and you'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. I find in these verses both challenges and reassurances. Many of the discussions in our small group turn to our work experience, and we spend so much time there, or currently virtually there. And in our work situations, we've talked about the pressures we face. Often these are frustrations, either with particular situations or our people that we work with. We've just read in those verses from James that we will face challenges and pressures, and that these things show the true colours of our faith. So I want the way I act and the things I do and say to reflect my faith in God. I want to be godly in the way that I deal with the situations I face. I don't know about you, but in some situations that can be really difficult. But I guess what I want is for the true colours to be bright, to be honest, and to be true. I'm reminded that a faith that shows good true colours when forced out into the open needs to have strong roots which are nurtured through spending time with God, talking and listening to him, so that we're in tune with him. And also James reminds us not to refuse to let the world corrupt us. I'm challenged that the way I deal with situations, the words I speak and the thoughts I have should reflect my faith in God, but I know that this isn't easy. But as I said at the beginning, when we've been looking at these passages, we've also looked for what reassures us. Throughout James, I was reminded time and time again that thankfully, God doesn't ask us to manage this on our own. He wants to draw close to me, but I need to draw close to him. And he gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us to deal with the pressures we face with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, all that learning with the children in Lighthouse paid off.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we collectively come before you in prayer today. We think about Paul's reflections in the weekly bulletin about unity, and for a few short moments we prepare ourselves for prayer, concentrating on you, Lord, in our own stillness. Loving Father, we think about our world at the moment. We see broken relationships, fragmented families, divided nations, governments and leaders. We ask that you can come among us and bind us together with spirit and unity in all our communities, to work and strive for peace, have respect and tolerance for all people, regardless of colour, creed, faith or gender, so that we may live together upon the earth to live in harmony with one another. We are all one body, one faith, one baptism, with one God who is Father to all. Help us to see a vision, a pathway through these difficult times. Sometimes we are all stuck on the roundabout, going round in circles, not knowing which road to turn off on our journey through life. But you will guide us on the right path through prayer as a guiding light in our daily lives.
We are praying for the work at Guinea-Bissau 2 Hospital in Chad, especially for the Spears family, the Shrapsole family and Brian and Jackie Chilvers, currently learning the French language before going out. We thank you for the rain after 7 months and the opening of worship places and businesses. Lord, give them all a strategy and a vision. Guide them to find sustainable rhythm of work and help the families in need, especially the families affected by the coronavirus. We also pray for Jackie Chilver's mum, who is unwell, and for guidance with regard to her care. Lord, we pray for Esther, Ian, Eleanor, and Nathan. Surround them all with your love. We pray for strength for Esther and her family, and for the healing of Esther's illness. Lord, we thank you for the life of Nan, who was such an inspiration and a faithful servant of you. We shall miss her very much and remember her with immense gratitude. We are thinking of the Kirkland family in their loss. Lord, please be with the parish nursing team in their work. Protect them and equip them with your Spirit. Also be with those within our church family who are recovering from illness, have serious medical needs, and those who are lonely and sad. Let them know that you are with them and that you will never forsake them. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus.
Lord, we think of everyone affected by the COVID-19 crisis. Be with them and comfort them. Lord, we need a green recovery from the COVID-19 crisis, where nature got a break, and during which we all so much more appreciated the nature around us, especially all of us living by the sea. Lord, grant us and the government a new way of thinking and prevent a return to unfair and unjust conditions which destroy our planet and many human lives. We must change our ways and take more care of your creation and of everybody who is treated unfairly or left behind in our society.
Heavenly Father, we commend these prayers to you. We look forward to the times when we can be reunited and enjoy unity once again in our community. And we conclude with the words from a Gaelic blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Keep safe.
Amen. Amen.
Hi everyone, I'm Rachel Thurlow and I'm going to share with you some of my lockdown thoughts this morning. My husband and I have chatted quite a lot about how different lockdown would have been for us if it had happened, say, a year ago, before our lovely girls entered our family and turned our lives upside down. And obviously we wouldn't have changed that for the world, but something that we have found that's been quite sad has been the fact that the girls were just settling into church life and settling into the children's work, and obviously then that all stopped when we stopped being able to meet together on a Sunday morning. But I am so grateful that Jo and Catherine have continued to send materials and ideas out each week that we've been able to do with the girls. And so it means that our Sunday mornings now look a little bit different. And rather than going to church as a family, we do church as a family ourselves, and we do children's church. So I always listen to the video cast or the podcast later in the day when I've got a bit of time to myself after the girls have gone to bed, because our Sunday mornings is very much geared towards them. And actually, we've had a really lovely time. We've really enjoyed learning some new songs together and all the actions. We've really enjoyed listening to Bible stories and doing lots of crafts. There's some examples of some of the crafts that we've done on a Sunday morning just behind me. And as I say, that's really big thanks to the children's team for providing such wonderful ideas for us. But something that has really manifested itself has been the fact that because we do it together now on a Sunday morning, we now as a family do more together through the week as well, in terms of singing the songs that we've learnt on a Sunday morning and praying together throughout the week. And it's really made me realise that that's probably something I should have been doing all the way through, and it shouldn't just be something that happens on a Sunday morning and then it's almost business as usual for the rest of the week. And I'm really, really thankful that the girls absolutely love praying, they love singing the children's worship songs, particularly doing the actions, and they insist that we do the actions as well, which is always hilarious. And it really has sort of meant that as a family, we God is a part of our conversations far more than it was previously, which I'm really, really thankful for. I came across this verse the other day from Proverbs, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message. So it's Proverbs 22 verse 6, and it's, "Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost." And that just really struck me, that it's all very well taking the girls to church and all the fantastic things that they do with the brilliant children's team. But actually it's my responsibility as well to be pointing them in the right direction. And if I'm not doing that throughout the week, then I'm not doing my job as a parent right. And obviously none of us want our kids to be lost. And I think I feel particularly mindful of that at the moment, knowing the difficult start that my girls had in life, and that I want to do everything I can to make sure that they're not lost, that they do feel like they have a purpose and that they have a home and that they are accepted. And so that verse really rang true for me. And it's made me realise that hopefully when we do get back into the church building and we get a little bit more back to normal, that I really want to commit to continue to worshipping together and praying together as a family, because I really think it's filled me with just so much love and gratefulness for everything that we've been gifted over this last year. And it was really drawing us as a family closer to God.
For you are the God.
I want to be like you, Jesus, to have His heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
I want to say a big thank you to all those who've taken part in the service today, both appearing on the screen and those working behind the scenes. I really do appreciate all the work that you've done to make this morning possible. And for those of you watching or listening to the service, I hope that God has really met with you in a new way today and you've been really helped and encouraged on your journey of faith. So as we close the service this morning, let's just pray together. May the grace of God thrill your hearts. The mercy of God transform your minds. The peace of God flood your souls. And the love of God flow through your lives. To the honour of His name. Amen.